Yay. Well, good morning. Good morning. How are you guys?
Fantastic.
Yay. I am super excited. It's not 4 a.m. here for this phone call. I can't tell you how excited I am that it's not 4 a.m. That was probably one of the most painful conference calls I've ever done. I just have to say, it gave me the true meaning of pain, as this doctor talked about. Oh, my goodness, that was crazy. But, you know, the funny part is the daughters that were all together last week in Las Vegas, of course, my mom was there too, and she's on. We were all discussing how we had unit conference calls that we were having to do while we were there, and so we were all talking about the timing. And so mine, I got the early bird one, but, you know, they were like, you know, 5 a.m., 6 a.m., where there are calls, and we were just like, wow, so Mary Kay really did this on a regular basis. So that truly was a sacrifice we could only imagine. So anyway, well, how did you guys like this chapter? Was it not Mary Kay made over? Like everything? I listened to it over and over and over again, and I'm just like, wow, could you have just put a chapter in that said Mary Kay all over it? You know, I love the statement in the chapter that it talked about one of the ladies, and he should have said Mary Kay, although I'm sure she didn't coin the phrase, but God didn't have time to make junk. And that's so true. How many times have we heard that,
yeah,
right? God didn't have time to make junk. And that's, you know, it's amazing that Mary Kay brought in so many amazing quotes and statements into our lives. And it just reiterates to me that God is absolutely throughout this business without question. And so, again, it just reconfirmed that I am where I'm supposed to be, which I loved. Because, you know, sometimes I don't know if you question if you're in the right place, or, you know, you might question, well, did I make this happen because I want it to happen? There's so many questions that go through your head, and for you guys that are in the Atlanta area, you will hear me say this tonight at our product launch, but the one main thing that I got out of our Las Vegas trip that I heard loud and clear from all the nationals and the national emeritus were they were all in. There was no out. There was no maybe if. There was no plan B. Mary Kay was plan A, plan B, plan C, plan D, plan E, and I can go through the alphabet. There was absolutely no question were they where they were supposed to be. They were all in, as my post said on Facebook yesterday. I love the fact, and that's my new slogan, is all in. I am all in. I am sold out. There is no if, ands, or buts. It is no plan B. It is me. This is it. Here I am. I'm here to stay. And what a renewed life that gives you, truly. And I want you to think about that in your faith walk as well. If you are truly all in, without question, no plan B, plan C, maybe another church, maybe another something else, you are all in to walking out the faith that and the path that God has for you, what a renewed energy that you would have in your life. And so it just continues to surface in so many ways. And this chapter, again, was so perfectly timed. You know, I am amazed. I am in awe. I don't know why, because God always does this for me. He puts me in awe on a regular basis. But I'm constantly in awe at how the chapter that we're on hits appropriately for everybody in a different way every week. And, you know, this chapter came so perfectly timed because, well, I mean, just in general, thinking about the Mary Kay and then the all-in with this week and what the message I got from the Nationals. But Sunday we were at church and we're doing our big, huge garage sale at church. And my husband, they were talking about volunteers and stuff like that, and you guys know, hear me talking about my husband has zero time. Like, he is crazy, crazy, crazy working with this new vertical that he works on through Equifax, and just crazy, crazy busy. And he turned to me and he goes, I think we should volunteer for the helping this garage sale. And I think my head snapped so fast I hurt my neck, because I'm like, who are you and what have you done with my husband? Like, seriously, he can't stand garage sales in general if it's our own personal one. And I'm like, wow, really? Like, I'm just thinking in my head, holy cow. He is honestly making, I mean, he's making time. He's going to take off a day. Wow. And so that really, and then, of course, the message this week, and it just really reiterated to me how, again, you know, God's working. He's totally working. And if you have the all-in mentality, no out, no ifs, no ands, no plans, plan B, C, D, or E, it is it in your business and in your faith, you will be amazed at what he can do with you. So I want to quickly do, just real quick go down what I taught, what I got out of the chapter, and then I want to have time to talk with each of you guys on what you got out of the chapter. But first, I want to do a roll call to see who is here. I know three voices, or four voices I heard, and let's see if I have everybody. I know Brenda was here. I heard Miss Judy Franks laugh, so I know she's here. I know Rachel was here because I expect her. There's that laugh I love. And then Rachel, and then my mom. And who else came on?
Sherry's here.
Oh, hey, Sherry.
Hey, Katie. And everybody.
And everybody, who else? Was that it? Seemed like a lot of dings came on at once. Okay, well, if you're on and you can't speak up, just shoot me, you can try to shoot me a text. We'll see if I get it. You can shoot me an email, so we'll work on it that way. Okay, so, oh my goodness, the things that I got out of this chapter were, I listened to it, I think, three or four times because, it was so powerful, and there were so many things that were said. I honestly had to take notes as I was listening to each day. It was that extremely powerful each and every day because, to me, it jogged a thought process that was far different than maybe another chapter did. I love the statement that nothing in your life is insignificant. Nothing. Not even the smallest thing. Everything is significant when it comes to your life and what God has planned. How does that make those phone calls appear? Significant, right? Because I was thinking, wow, those little insignificant things that were like, okay, yeah, okay. Smiling at someone, giving someone a compliment. Those insignificant things that we're like, yeah, day, 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 day. It's so significant in God's big plan. And doesn't that make you want to do it all the more? It made me, I mean, today is phone call day. Like, after that, I was like, I think of those as being, I mean, they're very significant in your business, but no, insignificant in the large scale of things. But that just said to me, no, that is where I want you to be. This is where I've planted you. This is where you're supposed to be. This is your spiritual gift. This is your mission field. And that's why I call you to do what you need to do in this business. So that piece was super powerful to me. And then God equips us for exactly what he designed us to do. So that's the all-in. No plan B, C, D. He equipped us to be exactly where we are because he wouldn't have called us here. He wouldn't have gotten us to this point in our business had he not called us to be here. He would not have gotten us this far in our walk, on the call, etc. Okay? It's amazing when you look at it in that element, how it changes your thoughts. And then spiritual gifts are God's gift to you, but what you do with them is your gift to God. So what are you doing with your spiritual gifts? I mean, are you truly using them in each day that he gives you? And I love that statement, each day that he gives you, because each day is a blessing. Each day is a honor. Each day is his that he allows you to stay on this earth. So what are you doing each day benefiting him, gifting him, that he, in respect to what he gave you with your spiritual gifts? One of the things that I looked up, because it was really powerful to me when he talked about the characteristics of a real servant. What are the characteristics of a real, true servant heart? And there are actually six out there that are just standard that many, many, many churches talk about and many people talk about. And so I want to go through them real quick because it helped me realize that not everything I'm thinking is truly in a servant heart thought. So real servants make themselves available to serve. Again, like I said, my neck almost snapped when my head turned so fast when my husband said, I think we should do it. I was floored because that's never been the case. And so I certainly feel that his walk is becoming different. When God calls upon us for an act of service, do we grumble? Do we reject it, saying our schedule's already filled? Real servants don't fill up their time with other things. Okay, they, just like a soldier, a servant is ready for duty at any time. So are we available to God anytime? And are we resentful if he messes up our plans? I roll with the punches. I can say I truly roll with the punches. It pretty much does not bother me when things don't go as planned. My mother-in-law always had a statement, to put your plans in pencil because God is the ultimate eraser. And she also said, if when you make plans, God laughs at them. I always love that because that's so true, right? You know, it's like, but I still plan. I still plan accordingly, but I've always got that buffer. I always have that ability to roll with the punches. So we need to remind ourselves at the start of each day that we are God's servant. So interruptions won't frustrate us as much because our agenda will be whatever God wants to bring into our life that day. We still have a schedule. He's not saying don't have a schedule. That's not what this book said at all. It said go ahead and schedule, but don't get upset with interruptions. We need to look at those interruptions as God's timing and God's appointments. If an interruption happens, there's something more that we need to do. There's something there in that interruption, and we need to look through that interruption to see what is it that he wants out of that. The second is real servants pay attention to needs. Servants are always on the lookout for ways to help others. John Wesley, which is somebody he quoted, said, do all the good you can by all the means you can in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you ever can. That is greatness. Boy, that is definitely a lot of cans. But it's so true. If we begin looking for the small task that no one else wants to do, begin there, like phone calls. Those are small tasks, right? They're little. They're maybe insignificant in certain people's lives. But so significant in the realm of things when you can close out the call with have a blessed day or, you know, I'm looking forward to pampering you or, you know, who knows what that woman needed that day. So pray for your phone calls to be blessed, to be divine appointments, to be the phone calls that he needed you to make that day. Okay, third, real servants do the best with what they have. Servants don't make excuses, procrastinate, or wait for better circumstances. God expects you to do what you can with what you have wherever you are. Less than perfect service is always better than the best intention. So I believe the statement that I've always heard through Mary Kay is blossom where you are planted. You're planted in Mary Kay.
Mm-hmm.
Blossom there. Use that time. Don't make excuses. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait till you know it all. It's now. Is your time. You're all in. It's all in. I saw something yesterday and I thought, ooh, I need to post that, but I thought maybe some other people wouldn't appreciate that. And it's give me your all in or get all out, one of the two. Don't sit on the fence. And I loved that. I'm like, oh, my gosh, that is so me in the statement in many ways. But that's how really so many Christians are, right? They're just on the fence, just, I'll step on this side if it's happy, and I'll step on this side if it's happier. So we don't have to do it to perfection. I loved what he said about his church, that they don't expect perfection. They just expect action. So So you don't have to have perfection. Just take action. One reason many people never serve is that they fear they're not good enough to serve. The truth is almost everything we do is done poorly when we first start. That's how we learn. If all of us think back to when we started our Mary Kay business, oh my gosh, how far we've come, right? And like tonight, it's product launch. There's nothing we know about these new products. We're going to learn. I mean, I do because I learned over the course of the past couple of days with the product launch coming up. But you're constantly learning. That's why God calls us to keep an open mind so that we can constantly learn. All right, number four. Real servants do every task with equal dedication. As servants, whatever we do it all. We do it with all our hearts. Okay, this is my all in. The size of the task is irrelevant. The only issue is, does it need to be done? Okay, you'll never arrive at the state in life where you're too important to help with menial tasks. Jesus specialized in the menial task that everyone else tried to avoid. What are you trying to avoid in your life because you think it's menial? What are you trying to avoid in your Mary Kay business because you think it's menial? That is what God is calling you to do. And until you're obedient and do that, nothing else will happen in your business. So, for instance, washing the feet, helping children, fixing breakfast, and serving leopards, those were the menial things that others didn't want to do that Jesus did. Nothing was beneath him because he came to serve. It wasn't in spite of his greatness that he did these things, but because of his greatness. And he expects us to follow in his example. So what are those small tasks, the irrelevant ones, the things that you should be doing to follow in his footsteps? And then five, real servants are faithful to their ministry. All in. Servants finish their tasks, fulfill their responsibilities, keep their promises, and complete the job. They complete their commitments. They don't leave a job half undone, and they don't quit when they get discouraged. They are trustworthy and dependable. They don't quit when the going gets tough, in other words. My mom used to always tell me, quitters never win and winners never quit. Isn't that the truth? Quitters never win and winners never quit. Because you will never see someone that is at the point of success that said, I only did it halfway. I really didn't do it with my whole energy, with my whole body, with everything. Yeah, no, it didn't happen. God didn't create it like that. Faithfulness has always been a rare quality. Most people don't know the meaning of commitment. We can attest to that, right, in this business. They make commitments casually and break them for the slightest reason without any hesitation, remorse, or regret. Every week, churches and other organizations must improvise because volunteers don't prepare, don't show up, or didn't even call to say they weren't coming. We can totally relate in our business, I know. But if everybody was woman of their words or women of their words or people of their words, what a difference this world would be and what a difference our business would be, right?
Mm-hmm.
So are we women of our word? Do we do what we say we're going to do? Do we stand up and commit and all in? And when we say we're going to be there, we're there. Come, you know, the dam breaking loose, it doesn't matter. There was a statement, come hell or high water, but I wasn't going to use that, but I did anyway. And can we be counted by others? Are there promises we need to keep? Vows we need to fulfill or commitments we need to honor? God is testing our faithfulness. Imagine what it's going to feel like one day to have God say to you, well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. Faithful servants never retire. They serve faithfully as long as they're alive. You can retire from your career, but you'll never retire from serving God. I know at my grandmother's funeral, my whole eulogy that I gave that my dad asked me to speak on was that exact statement that I knew without a question of a doubt she heard, well done, my good and faithful servant, when she arrived into the doors of heaven, because she was the epitome of serving. She served in every aspect, in every way possible. And so I know without a shadow of a doubt she heard those words. And I know that was her most glorious day when she did, because she served for God's fulfillment. She served for God's glory and for his kingdom. Number six, real servants maintain a low profile. Servants don't promote or call attention to themselves. Instead of acting to impress and dress for success, they put on the apron of humility to serve one another. If recognized for their service, they humbly accept it, but don't allow notoriety to distract them from their work. I like this because, you know me, guys, I certainly dress for success. That's what I was always taught, is dress for the job you want, not for the job you have. And so the job I want is to be the most amazing servant in Christ's kingdom, not amazing in the sense of humility, I mean, in all that, but in a very humble way. But I found often that I can pull people into his kingdom when I do have the dressed for success, because people ask questions. So that's my vehicle, that's my method. And then serving in order to impress people with how spiritually we are, we need to serve others to impress people with how spiritual we are. And in this, in the sin of the Pharisees, they turned helping others, giving, and even prayer into a performance. Jesus hated this attitude and warned, when you do good deeds, don't try to show off. If you do, you won't get a reward from your Father in heaven. So when we do the good deeds for others, we don't need to toot our own horn. We don't need to brag about it. We don't need to, woo, oh, I did this great thing for this person. God is the only one that needs to know that. You know, it states that in the Bible, that a cheerful giver is a silent giver. It's not one that gloats about what he gave. In our bodies, we have several prominent parts that we could not live without. Most people could go on living without an arm, a leg, or even an eye, but nobody could live without a brain or a heart. It's the hidden parts inside our bodies that are significant. Knowing this, let's not be discouraged when our service is unnoticed or taken for granted. Keep on serving. Keep on serving God. Keep on serving your community. Keep on serving your business. Even the smallest service is noticed by God and will be rewarded. Remember the words of Jesus. It is, if as my representatives you give even a cup of cold water to a little child, you will be surely be rewarded. So I think those really helped me focus on what the true meaning of being a servant is. And really, those are just my notes that I took from just the chapters, because it really hit me in so many ways. Like I said, I was typing profusely in my notes as I was reading the chapters, because it was so powerful in so many ways, and it had Mary Kay just screamed all over it. So I want to open it up to see what you guys got out of it, if you got anything different or more, or one of your favorite thoughts that you had out of this chapter. And Brenda, if you are still there, I'm going to start with you. She might have dropped off because I heard the ding and I knew she was getting to work. Judy, how about you?
The thing that jumped out at me this week because of something else that's going on for me is the fact that God made me to be me, that he has a place in his church where my specialties can shine and that I can make a difference, and that it's up to me to find that place. And then the kicker was that if I don't make my unique contribution to the body of Christ, it won't be made.
That was powerful, like, wasn't it?
Right between the eyes, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I loved the statement, an unopened gift remains unopened. And it's like, okay, so I know y'all have heard this statement. Don't leave this world with your song unsung.
Don't what?
Don't leave this world with your song unsung.
Oh, yes.
So don't leave this world with your gift not given. You know, leave this world totally empty, giving your everything there is, all in, everything, every piece, every ounce. You know, I love the thought, the image I have is falling into bed every night, totally exhausted every night because you've served your bottom off in your business, in your world, in your community. That, to me, is all in.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Absolutely. Thank you, Judy. That was awesome. I actually loved that piece of it, too. All right. Let's see. Rachel.
I think my biggest thing was where he said that delay is not denial or something. I can't remember how he used it, but basically, like, if something's delayed, doesn't mean that the door's closed.
Right. Delay is not denial. It just means
so
that
I like
you
that one.
On.
And then, huh?
It just means you got to keep on.
Yep. To keep on, keep on, and that he put us here, and we, again, are our masterpieces. He made every part of us of who we are and everything about us of how we would be.
Yeah, that was
our
so
each
cool
of our
to me.
Characteristics, you know, just to be ourselves with people because that's how he made us.
Yeah, jars of clay. And not a single piece of pottery is identical. Because it's made by hands, and so there's always something that's different. And so not a single heartbeat is the same. Not a single person is the same. And when we try and mimic people to be exactly the same, we will never be because God didn't give them the same exact makeup. We can be close, but not exact. So I know it's funny when I go to Mary Beth that, like Addie at her age, she'll turn her head and look when I speak because she thinks it's her mom. Because Mary Beth and I sound so much alike, and she'll look at me like I'm Mary Beth because we look very similar. But then I think, wow, how different we are, right? And so it's really funny to see that infancy, but then, you know, she'll soon learn. All right, Mom, are you still on?
I am.
All right. So what did you get out of what we talked about?
Well, I got out of the tape the thing that I, you know, what you think about, you bring about. But the fact of excuses, so many people make excuses for things that God is leading us to do. And there are no excuses. So on my computer, I put the little, I had a postcard somebody sent me that said, just do it. So if it's good, it's got to be God's.
That's good. So if it's good, it's got to be God's. I like that. I'm writing that down. We're going to use that. And Sherry, you know, Mom just said what I exactly sent you in a text, I do believe. So I think that's kind of funny. But go ahead and share what you got out of it.
Oh, well, so much. I mean, it's so odd, like you said, how everything just keeps going along with life and how it's perfect timing. I'm dealing with a situation with my daughter, and I'm happen to be the encourager for her. And one of the things we've always heard Mary Kay in this, one of the chapters was about extracting the lesson and the experiences. And it was just really interesting how, you know, we don't want to carry the bad part of a lesson learned with us. We want to extract the lesson that we learned from it. And I told my daughter, I said, you know, what you're going through now in your 20s is going to make you the person you are in your 30s. And she's been digging in the Word. And I've been sharing these messages with her.
Good.
So timely for me and my daughter. So,
go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, it reiterates to me that I'm on the right track with her, you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And what I was sharing with Sherry is we were talking about her getting into her red, and she made a statement, and my answer back was, in the words of my mother, just do it. So it was funny you said that today, Mom, because that was exactly the information I used with Sherry this week. So
what's funny is my daughter, I always say, just do it. And I'll say it 3 times in a row, just do it. Just do it. Just do it. She goes, why do you always say it 3 times? I said, Jesus always put importance on things that were said 3 times.
Ooh.
And, you know, she, because I'm always telling her, because she overthinks it, and I do too. She gets it from me. I overthink things, and sometimes I just say, just do it. Just do it. Just do it.
That is so funny. I like that. Jesus always puts importance. That's pretty cool. On what he says 3 times. I like that statement, too. I liked, too, in the chapter, he talked about the acronym please be patient with me. God's not finished with me yet. Joyce Meyer has a statement that I love that says, I'm not where I want to be, but thank God I'm not where I was. And think about that in both our spiritual walk and our Mary Kay walk. I'm glad I'm not where I want to be, but thank God I'm not where I was. I say that. I mean, I can't, I don't say it, but I should say it daily, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my
yeah.
goodness, if I would look back at the things that I would have missed had I not said yes, first off, but
mm-hmm.
Just in my spiritual walk as well and being open to it. And Sherry, I love what you shared because that really hit home to me beyond words as far as God does not waste pain. He brings us pain to make our spiritual gifts come alive. And when we're ready to acknowledge and admit the heartfelt pain that we've gone through, then we can minister to others. And that was extremely powerful to me because, you know, I tell you guys all the time, what's your speech going to be from the seminar stage? Because that's your why, that's your purpose. What are you going to share? And this says it. You know, what pain have you gone through? What pain has formed you? And just like you just said to your daughter, what you're going through now will form you to the person you are tomorrow. And that is me. I mean, what I went through in my teens and my 20s is what formed me into the person I am today. And I'm so grateful. Then I wasn't grateful. Then I was like, why? But now I'm so grateful that I went through it because it made me a stronger person. So that to me was very, very powerful. And then serving is in the menial task in your path, little acts that others don't think about doing. I love that piece, that it doesn't have to be this huge project. It doesn't have to be this year-long commitment. Menial task, helping set up at a garage sale. Oh, my gosh, how much money, you know, to me, it's, that's like the ultimate menial. But it hit Scott in a way that floored me. But, and I always volunteer every year for that and never have thought twice about it. But, man, has it put some impact on me this year with him saying that. And then we are personally saved so we can serve. So saved to serve is the statement that I wrote down. And then blessed to bless. We are blessed with all the benefits God put in us to bless others with.
Mm-hmm.
And then nothing is small to God. It's all needed. So those menial tasks that we think, you know, this won't really count, it won't really matter, what's the big deal? And the example he used was the nightlight versus the chandelier. When you think about that image, I love that image. A chandelier puts off so much light. It's gorgeous. It's beautiful when it's needed. But that nightlight that keeps you from stumping your toe and breaking your foot and doing all these other horrible things in the middle of the night when you get it to go potty, oh, my gosh, isn't that far more valuable to you, right? That little bitty light compared to the huge chandelier, the menial task. Those are the things that count. And then the part that I loved, what Mother Teresa said, is that holy living is doing God's work with a smile.
Mm-hmm.
That part, I'm like, I love all our statements, but that was really powerful to me. When you're doing God's work with a smile, and guys, Mary Kay is God's work. This business is God's work. And if you haven't seen it in your business, you need to open your eyes and start doing the menial task because he is here, he is present, he is front and center. And he is the center of this business. And I certainly think we are all here because we are called here. We are called here for this to be our mission field. It's our vehicle, as I call it. And I shared that with Kristen Sharp this past week when we were together, you know, that I truly feel God has called her for this purpose of a national, that this is her mission field. This is where she's bringing people to a level that they've never imagined they could be so that he can have them in his kingdom, in his glory, in his light. And, you know, it was so funny that she had never been told that before. as great as she is and as amazing as she is and as powerful as she is and as almost national as she is, she had never heard that exact statement referred to her. And I just thought, wow, God, thank you for giving me the words.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for allowing me to be the vehicle to her to hear what she needed to hear to continue that journey without a question. So sometimes it's the menial statements. It's the opening our hearts to hear what he wants us to tell others. And I want to, does anybody else have anything? Because I want to close with just one line that I want us to really focus on this week. All right. If not, I want to let me go over next week's chapter so we all are on the same page. It will be session six, if I can say that really fast all together. And it's not even 4 a.m., and I'm getting tongue-tied on that one. It's day 36 through day 40. This is the final chapter. So we're in our final chapter of the book. It has been so powerful. I'm really excited for this. So day 36 through day 40. So it's kind of a short week, but that's okay. We can take it. And we'll get together next Thursday as our last one before seminar. We're not going to do another one before seminar. We'll start one. I might start one in July, but I'm going to pray about that one. So definitely we'll start one after seminar, but definitely want to give us some time to really focus on what seminar holds for us. So does anybody else have any other questions? Nope? Okay. I want to close with this, and I want you guys to really focus on this for the week and focus on what it says to you, and that is God expects you to do what you can with what you have where you are. So what you can with what you have where you are. Are you doing what you can do every day with what you have every day where you're planted? God calls us to do the and then some. Are you falling in bed exhausted because you have served, you have completed the task, you have touched every single person God put in front of you for that day in his glory? And if not, we need to, because that's what he's calling us to do. That's the servant, is not to, again, fill your days and your task, your calendars with everything around the church. This business is a fellowship. This business is a mission field. It is in the business as well, because we bring women into his kingdom in a very different way than church can. So let's remember that. So you guys have a great week, and thanks for calling in, and we will talk next week. Have a great one.
See you.
Thanks.
See you tonight.
And
bye.
Bye. See y'all tonight. Bye.
Bye.